I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come, it is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I guess over the years there's been a number of coffee adverts that are memorable. There's one at the moment that is very interesting. I don't know if you've seen it. It's been on television. It's also at the cinema as well. It involves a man on a stage, well, actually in a stadium of 80,000 people. And he's on a stage with a table and some coffee cups on his table. And the advert basically is pointing out that through our lives we come in contact with lots and lots of people. The stadium is full. 80,000 people on average is the number that people, acquaintances, people meet through their lives, whether they're at college, university, workplace, sports clubs. If you put them all in a stadium, 80,000 people all sat around. Of course, family and friends and other things too. And then what happens on the advert is basically the man starts to talk to his 80,000 friends. And he says things like, sit down if you didn't know that this happened to me when I was a boy. And loads of people, ooh, I didn't know that. Sit down if you didn't know my nickname at school was this. And again, you can imagine the ripple across the 80,000 as it gets down to 30,000, 20,000, 10, 100, 50. In the end, it comes right down to just a handful of people left that knew about this man and what he'd been through in life. And they're the ones who were invited to come and sit round the table and have, I think it's Gold Blend, have a coffee with him. All right. Well, I present that to you as a picture of life, relationships. So often they are fleeting, aren't they? So often we get to know a little bit about somebody, but really we don't get to know all there is to know about people. Only a few real close people will know about you, about me. How well do people know you? If you were in that stadium, who would it be that came and sat round and had coffee at your table? We talk about relationship rightfully at this church, not religion. We don't do religion, we do relationship. Relationship with one another, but more than that, more importantly, of course, relationship, first and foremost, with the Lord. How well do we know the Lord? I want to look at Psalm 40. I want to look at David's relationship with the Lord. Because it said of him that he had a heart after God. He spent time with the Lord, as well as serving him. David said something very interesting this morning as we were talking about Peter. Sometimes we get caught up in working for the Lord, doing. And of course, there's a lot to do. Don't misunderstand. But to sit with the Lord, to spend time with him, to get to know the Lord. He knows us, of course, inside out, doesn't he? But for us to know him better. I think you can, as a Christian, reach a certain level and you think, well, yeah, I know a little bit about that. And I know a little bit about that. And sort of kind of a bit sketchy in certain areas. But we are to go deeper to know him more. You could argue, of course, that David's early years, the ruddy boy there out in the fields with the sheep, gave him time to reflect upon his faith in the Lord. The Lord's my shepherd, Psalm 23, is a reflection, isn't it, of what he was experiencing. He had time to just stop and step back from things. We're encouraged these days to go 100 miles an hour at everything and fail to see sometimes what's right there in front of us. As you look at Psalm 40, you see how David discovered the Lord is the faithful deliverer. I wonder if you would say, you know, I've come to realize this. The Lord is the faithful deliverer. Have you known a few scrapes in your life and you've called out to the Lord and you've seen how he has rescued you? If you're a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, that was day one of your Christian faith, wasn't it? But it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? We get ourselves into all sorts of scrapes, all sorts of situations. You see, in Psalm 40, David writes, or should I say sings, because they're songs, of deliverances past. He's reflecting back on what the Lord has done, possibly even in the days of Saul, before David has become king. And at the end of the psalm, he's asking again, Lord, deliver me. Come to my aid. Help me. Now, I'm sure in the intervening times, years, he's grown to know the Lord more. And so just sometimes we just have to remind ourselves of what we have known in the past and just build upon what we've known in the past. And interestingly, it begins with past deliverance. It ends with, please, future deliverance. And in the middle, it's kind of a sandwich with his dedication to the Lord, his commitments to this relationship that he knows with the Lord. And so I want to look at this with you tonight. I want you to think about your own relationships, and primarily your own relationship with the Lord. I want to make it very personal in that sense. But I'm going to generalize it. I don't want to just sort of hone in and make us feel too uncomfortable. So I'm just going to speak in generalities to begin with and say this. Relationships involve getting to know one another. Okay, that's a kind of simple thing to say. No harm done. I've said it. When you think about human relationships, again, back to the man on the table with the coffee, you know, some people are outgoing people, aren't they? WYSIWYGs. What you see is what you get. A WYSIWYG. Others, more introverted, and many layers. And sometimes you think, oh, I didn't really know. I didn't see that. Oh, that's a surprise. I don't know who your relationships are best with. Whether it's a mixture of both, I guess it would be. Human relationships, complex, complicated. We don't always get it right. Sometimes we misjudge people. Sometimes we think, oh, they're just, you know, bold and brash and up front, and actually they're not. It's just a layer of the onion, as it were, that you're seeing, and there's more to it. Well, how complex relationships can be, but how can man know God? With our finite understanding, God graciously helps us along. He's given us his word, hasn't he? Which describes him. The facets, the wonder of the Lord. He sent his son to demonstrate to us his ways, more than that, his words, is everything. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, said Jesus. And in a few weeks' time, we'll be thinking of Pentecost, but we don't need to wait till then. He's given us his Spirit, that we might know his truth and his touch upon our lives. This side of glory, of course, we'll never fully comprehend the many facets of our Lord. But we can start to discover. We can start to go deeper in our discovery, in our relationship with him. Now, to get to know someone, you must let them get to know you too. That's true, isn't it? I'm not, you know, tell me if you, you know, it's not rocket science. A one-sided relationship doesn't work. If one person is saying, you know, let's do this, and the other person's just cold, having nothing to do with you, that's not a relationship. It works that both share. Both are involved in the relationship together. Don't normally start by looking at the last verse of a passage, but look at what is said there in verse 17. It's almost like an introduction. Now, it's not an introduction, because David has walked with the Lord for many years through the ups and downs of his life. But here he is again. Yet I am poor and needy. Hello, pleased to meet you. I'm poor and needy. You are my help and my deliverer. I am this and you are that. I'm poor and needy. You're my help and deliverer. David recognizes the gulf between the Lord and himself. We heard this morning of Peter and the Lord, as Peter was restored. And there was that sense in which Peter is being recalled and renewed and prepared for that new work. But he had to recognize his faults, his failings, that he'd blown it. For then the Lord to piece back together his life, more than that, to make him new in the power of the Holy Spirit. I am this, Lord, and you are everything that I need. The psalm itself is perhaps best known for its beginning, how it's described, that the coming together of David and the Lord. There's David waiting, crying out, and how gracious the Lord is. You know, if you have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, it is all by grace, isn't it? It's not something that you have wonderfully manufactured and worked on yourself. David acknowledged his need. I waited and I cried to him. That was all I could do. That's where I was at. Then see what the Lord did. He turned to me. He lifted me. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. And he put a new song in my mouth. And because of that, I trusted him. And I want everybody else to trust him as well. That's where David's at in those opening verses. He needed deliverance in the days of Saul's attacks. We need deliverance from another enemy, from Satan's attack. Now, in human relationships, poor and needy is not a good look, is it? You don't find that, do you, in the sort of the personal column? Poor and needy, looking for... Yeah. No, who's going to go near poor and needy? But thank God, God is gracious. God is not like we are. He doesn't recoil at the idea of poor and needy. Indeed, he responds to it, graciously coming to David's aid and to David's help. Now, by the end of this psalm, it's possible that David was the king. He had power, humanly speaking, but poor and needy. He knew his own heart. He knew his own situation. Do you know your own heart? Would you say this evening, Lord, I'm poor and needy. I'm poor and needy. I may have been a believer for many years, but I'm as poor as ever and needy of you in these situations that I face. David was willing to open his heart to the Lord. To be in a two-sided relationship. Yes, he knew the Lord, or something of the Lord's character, to help him, to deliver him. And he needed that help. Secondly, relationships generally involve learning to trust one another, don't they? Sadly, relationships often break down where trust is broken. The marital affair, or whatever the circumstances may have been. Trust. Trusting one another completely, wholeheartedly. Psalm 40 is bracketed by time. I waited patiently. Maybe you're waiting on the Lord even now tonight. Are you waiting patiently? I waited patiently. We do sometimes want to get ahead of the Lord. We don't understand why he delays, what his timing is on things. And David waited patiently. But by the end of the psalm, in this new situation he's in, oh my God, do not delay. He's still waiting patiently. This time for another stepping in of the Lord in a situation. But he's unmoved in the sense he knows he's in the right place, crying out to the Lord and calling upon him. He's known the Lord's deliverance before. And delay, yes, is testing his trusting. But within the psalm he says, do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. David seeks the Lord's intervention, but must trust the Lord's timing. Why the delay? I waited patiently. Why the delay in this situation for him at the end? Oh, do not delay. He has to trust. But he doesn't sit there, you might note this, on a deck chair, twiddling his thumbs, saying, I am trusting. He commits himself to the Lord, to serving the Lord in whatever way he can. He says, you have my ear, Lord. Now, there was the practice of the servant having his ear pierced to stay with his master. Maybe that's what's in mind here in this verse. A pierced ear was a symbol of commitment to the master. You have my ear. I wonder this evening, does the Lord have your ear? In the sense that you're committed to him, to listen to him, to do things his way. More than that, you have my body. When you look at the footnotes, it can be translated that way. A body you have prepared for me. In fact, those words are quoted in Hebrews 10. of the Lord Jesus and his perfect obedience, that he saw that he was prepared as a sacrifice, to suffer. And that's exactly what's being said here. So there's a messianic overtone in the psalm. You have my body, Lord. We'll do this your way. I'll listen. And more than that, I'll have my ear pierced for you. And you have my body. We'll work this out. I'll do whatever is required to be done. And you see something of that when you see that David says, you have my devotion. I desire to do your will. I desire. Not, oh, go on then. There's no better option on the table. I desire to do your will. Your law is written within my heart. David waits for the Lord's involvement, but he actively looks for what he can do in the meantime. And in the verses that we read, without going into too much detail, it says, it talks of him speaking out about God's righteousness, faithfulness and salvation, letting people know. Speaking out. His life is not perfect. His circumstances are not perfect. Life is not perfect. It never will be just the way you want it to be, and then I'll speak out. No. Speak out in the midst of it all, in the pain, in the patiently waiting. Even when it's perplexing, others might say, well, you know, where is your God in this? Why? Why the delay? But show your devotion and say, well, I trust him in his time. And in the time I have, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about what he says. Let me tell you and let me do the things he asks of me. Speaking about his righteousness, faithfulness, and salvation. Things that we can be doing for his glory, whatever circumstance we're facing and going through. David trusts the Lord. One of the things that helps him in trusting the Lord, and that's why we sang our opening hymns tonight, is just to look around at the greatness of what God has put in place. He looks at God's wonders and he marvels. And he looks at God's plans and he looks at how things have gone in his life, how things have gone for his people. And we can see how God is at work. God's wonders, God's plans. David reminds himself of the Lord's track record. That's a very 21st century phrase. But you know what I'm trying to say? What the Lord has done. From that position, we can trust the Lord. He holds everything together. The atoms and everything else. So he isn't going to falter and fail on some small thing when he holds the big things in place. Relationships involve getting to know one another. And wonderfully, by God's grace, through his word, by his spirit, we can get to know the Lord. He knows all about us, yet still wants that relationship with us. And relationships involve learning to trust one another. Being honest and open before the Lord, expressing how we feel, but acknowledging his truth. Acknowledging what he's done and what he promises to do. But thirdly, relationships lead to sharing life together. I guess ultimately, humanly speaking, in the marriage setting, but you know, in lifelong friendships, again, back to the table, round with the coffee, you know, the people that really know you, they stand by you through all sorts of things. They're the ones you can pour out your heart to and tell all sorts of things. You know things about them, but you wouldn't say anything of that to anybody else. And they, in the same way, know about you. sharing life together in that personal way. David doesn't stand looking back at past deliverances totally. We don't just read verses, the first five verses, and think, oh, that's good. He looks up and he looks forward to what the Lord will do in the days to come. But he does open his heart. He complains about the troubles that are all around him. It's not wrong to do that to the Lord, to pour out your heart to him in that way. He confesses the sins that are within him. It's vital we do that. And he uses that phrase, more than the hairs on my head. You remember the Lord Jesus speaking about the care of the Father. He knows the hairs numbered on your head. David says, my heart fails within me. Okay, he's not always on top of, you know, sometimes things get him down. Yet we've read that God's law is in his heart. The word within his heart sustains. And he might feel as though his heart's going to give way. But with God's word, he has the support that he needs. And you and me too. Hear what Paul says to the Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word. Through it you know the Lord. You know his ways. You know his comfort. You know hope. Isn't it good to know we can share all that is on our hearts with the Lord? And how wonderful that he shares too what's on his heart with us through his word. What a friend we have in Jesus, we sing. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He's the faithful deliverer. He's the one who can help us when we are weighed down, when our heart fails within us. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes to the Corinthians, and he speaks about deliverance in a three-dimensional way. He talks about how we have been delivered through the cross. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10. He speaks about how the Lord will deliver us on that final day when he comes in his glory to set us free. A great deliverance on that day. And then he puts in another deliverance. We have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. In other words, each day, day by day, we need deliverance. We are delivered from Satan's work through the cross. We will be delivered on that final day from all that the decay and the death and everything else that sin has brought into the world. But day by day, there's daily deliverance for us from the Lord. You may recall last Sunday evening we were talking about how the Lord is our master and he's able to make his servant stand. And you may have noticed in this psalm, which is, I guess, what led me to it, how David is lifted up from the mire and given a place to stand upon a rock. Christ is our rock. We have been given a place to stand upon him and what he has done. Oh, what a firm place we have to stand. I'm reminded too that the scriptures speak on a number of occasions, the first with Moses and the Exodus, about standing and seeing the deliverance of the Lord. Later, Jehoshaphat, same words are spoken. Take up your position, stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. There's two battle scenes, battle situations, where the Lord steps in and they are asked to stand firm. Well, Jesus has won the battle for us. We stand upon the rock and we can see and will see the deliverance of the Lord. We've got to stand firm. as well as being patient in that standing firm, James 5 tells us. Again, we're back to David in Psalm 40, waiting patiently. We're back longing for the Lord to release us. But as we walk with the Lord, as we recognize, yes, we are poor and needy, and that we need Him, what does David say to the Lord? He says, "May the Lord think of me. May the Lord think of me." That's what friends do, isn't it? That's what relationship's about. If you're in a relationship and you haven't thought about the other person for a while, it's not a very good relationship. Well, in the same way, the Lord is a perfect Heavenly Father. He thinks of His children constantly. But do we think of Him as much as we should? Let us take time this evening. Let us come round His table and let's to the Lord's table and let's think of Him. Trust Him completely, because He thinks of us. He will bring us through the battles, the struggles, to that final day. To know Him is to have the greatest friend in the world, the first person at your table for coffee, because He knows everything about you and wants us to know more about Him each day. Great is our need, but greater still is our deliverer.